didn't have to be choosing, choosing sides. Indivisible humanity increasing to insanity. I find myself caught in the middle of a war against the wild, and I am choosing sides. My side is the wild.
And welcome to Speaking of Animals. I'm Lori Sonnenfeld, and I'm talking with, or about to talk with, Sharon Murphy of Paws. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Lori.
How are you doing?
I'm good, and I'm so glad to be talking to you this morning. So I have to warn you, if at some point I say, I'll stop that, get down, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to Johnny Depp, who's decided to join me in my office. Johnny Depp is a sweet little one-year-old black cat who loves me a little bit too much and can't stand not being on my lap with his nose in my ear.
And you told me that feeding time is at 9 a.m.?
Feeding time is at 9 a.m. I have the sweetest little, you know, I wish you had vision on the radio. A little fluffy black and white three-week-old kitten having her bottle on my lap.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you hear the others in the carrier?
Just barely.
Oh, now they're quiet.
So some are in a carrier?
They go everywhere with me. So right now, while they're so small, they live in a little cat carrier.
Oh, how sweet.
And they travel with me until they're old enough to go into foster care and start having a little bit of food as well as their bottle. And then their foster mom will give them their bottle every 3 hours.
How did you come by the kittens?
These kittens came, and it was rather sad. Nobody meant them any harm. They came from a mental health facility out in Hillsboro, and one of the residents there that's mentally handicapped found them in the bushes with their mom and wanted the kittens, so he hid them. And the staff, oops, sorry, baby. The staff didn't find them until it was too late, and mom had already dried up her milk.
Mm.
So we got them when they were 2 weeks old.
And they're doing well.
And they're doing well.
I love the sound effects in the background. That's great. Good radio.
Good.
So how did Paws get started, and tell us what it is?
You know, I've been writing a book called Birth of an Animal Shelter, or What the Bleep Was I Thinking? Because Paws happened quite by accident. I was minding my own business one day. I ran a little gift and antique store with a tea room in it here in town. And a woman missed an appointment with me one morning because she had trapped two cats to take them to be euthanized because they were strays in her neighborhood and nobody wanted them. And up until then, I just didn't realize people did those kinds of things. So it haunted me all morning as I tried to go about my work. And I already having two cats, as you know, two cats is the limit in polite society.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think I could take them, but it haunted me so badly that I finally did go and get them. And the shelter evolved out of that. One of them gave birth the next morning. The six baby kittens, and she abandoned all of them.
Mm.
So I started bottle feeding back then.
And when was this?
This was 9 years ago now. It took 2 years to actually get the shelter idea going and established. We've been here in West Lynn in the little town of Willamette for 7 years now. We just celebrated 7 years on June 6th. And on our seventh anniversary, we got eight baby ducklings.
Ducklings?
So we mostly do just cats, but in our history, we've also done 48 dogs, one rabbit, two turtles, a pigeon, a miniature horse, three baby squirrels, two orphaned raccoons, and now eight baby ducklings.
How many kitties?
We've done well over 3,000 kitties.
That you've placed?
That we've have in our care or have found homes for.
Uh-huh.
Right now we're pretty full at our little shelter, and we have about 90 cats in-house and 30 more in foster care.
Uh-huh.
So wow. That's a lot of cats for 650 square feet.
You have been very effective.
We have been. We work pretty hard, and we're very, very happy.
That's great. So tell me about the design of your shelter. It's a little bit different, isn't it?
It is a little bit different, and I think we were one of the first shelters to have all of our cats be free roaming. We do have cages set up in the shelter, and that's where the new cats come in. We call them private condos, and they get to have a private condo for their first week of being here while they're meeting the residents and getting used to being here. And then they come out and join the society of all the cats here. And it's amazing to a lot of people. It doesn't amaze us so much anymore because we've done it for so long. But all of the cats here get along. All of the 90-some-odd cats that we have in the shelter, it's like a big family. And they get along because we enforce the rules. I'm like the mother of the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's doing a little bit of trash talking or sassing somebody gets scolded by me. And then if they don't listen, they go into timeout.
Mm-hmm. And timeout is?
Timeout is usually a cat carrier.
Uh-huh.
Something that they won't like. We tried putting them back into the private condos, but they like being in there so much that didn't work very well.
Why do they like that? the private condos, do you
think? You know what? I'm not really sure. I think in part it could be because there are so many cats here that having a bed all to yourself is at a premium.
Uh-huh.
So when they're in the private condo, generally there's just them and maybe a...
Uh-oh.
In the private condo. So I think that's part of why they like that. It's a little bit more of their own space.
Uh-huh.
It's like being in a big family and sharing your bedroom. It's really nice when you get one of your own.
That makes sense. So how do you determine what cats to take, and how long is your waiting list?
No, that is so sad. That's the hardest part of this job, and it's sometimes it makes it hard to go through a day. We get, right now we adopt out an average of 20 cats every month, but we get that many phone calls at least in any day. Choosing who to take is really difficult. This summer we've been so crowded. Since we're one of the only shelters that takes the orphaned kittens, we've been getting 6 to 8 orphans on a weekly basis since about May, which makes us too full to be taking in any other cats because there's a limit when we're such a small space. I mean, we are looking for bigger space. We have 3 years, and then our lease here will be up, and then we'll be homeless ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for a bigger space that would be more conducive to caring for more animals.
Is your current space a house?
Our current space is what used to be a house, I'm sure many, many years ago. We're in the historic area of West Flint.
Mm-hmm.
So it, years and years ago, was converted into, I think it used to be duplexes, and then they've been rehabbing the whole town. So now it's a little retail space in the historic part of West Flint.
Hmm.
So it's very cute.
Mm-hmm. So it does seem that one reason people don't adopt additional cats is that they're afraid their original one or two cats won't get along with the newcomers. How do you help people with that?
We always recommend to them that they start their new cat out in a private room like we do with the condos so that the new cat can settle down. The existing cats know somebody new is there, and everybody gets used to the idea before they're having to share their toys, share their mom. It's not totally unlike having children that are a little bit jealous and don't want someone else to play with their things or be in their spot, or that's my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot like bringing the new child home.
Yeah.
So we recommend people start them out in their own space and then slowly introduce them instead of just thrusting the new cat out there, because it's pretty scary for the new cat. They don't know where they are. They don't know why they're there. They don't know the people that are there. It doesn't smell right.
Mm-hmm.
So if they give them at least a week for everybody to settle in, the transition is much better. And then we recommend that they just open the door to the cats, the new cat's room, and let them come out as they want to. And then when the new cat gets scared, they'll run back into their safe room.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, we invite people to call us back if they're having some trouble. And we talk about good parenting with animals. Because it does come down to just good parenting. People seem to expect that the cats are just going to know what we want them to do without actually instructing them like we would our kids. If we heard our kids saying bad stuff to another kid in the house and slapping them, we would step in and correct them. But for some reason, people don't do that with their cats.
So how do you recommend people do that correction?
I recommend you do it just like you would with a kid. And we do it here in the shelter, and it works. Amazingly so, but it works. When one of the cats is saying something bad, all I have to do, even in my office, is only separated from the rest of the shelter by a wall of old screen doors, so I can hear everything that's going on. And when somebody is behaving badly, all I have to do is say, stop that. And generally, they do. If they don't stop it, then I stand up and go to where they can see me, and I tell them to stop that. And just like a kid, they'll look up at me and go, who, me? And then at that point, if they still don't stop it, then I go in and I take my finger and I thump them on the top of the head with just one finger. Just like the mama cat would do with her babies when they're misbehaving, she soft paw slaps them.
Uh-huh.
And then if they turn and sass me, that's when I grab them by the scruff of their neck and I walk them into timeout, just like a mom might grab her child by the ear and walk him into his room.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we do it. And the cats do
and you
not
don't,
want.
You don't show anger. You just stay calm.
Well, you know, I think they can hear it in my voice because I'm not very happy if I've had to say it twice.
Right.
But they generally listen, and most of the cats only have to get in trouble once before they listen. When I say stop that, they do it.
That's great.
We had one cat, it was our first Johnny Depp, that got into trouble so many times and got walked into timeout so often that all I had to do was say stop that and reach for him, and he'd put himself in timeout, which is what got him adopted.
Uh-huh. So what about your adoption policy?
Our adoption policy is that anybody who rents where they live has to have paid all the deposits and signed all the paperwork with their landlord. Everybody has to be an adult that adopts from us. We don't adopt cats out as gifts for someone else.
Mm-hmm. And what about the indoor-outdoor question?
We require that our cats be indoors with the ability to go outdoors, but what we really want is for them to be treated as though they were a little child in the house. So if you wouldn't have your little kids out during the middle of the night during a snowstorm, we would like our cats not to be out either.
And so if people want to keep them indoor only, are you uncomfortable with that?
I'm not. I think it's up to the individual families with regards to that. We want them to be treated like a family member.
Yes.
So if they want to keep them inside only and the cat's happy with that, then I'm happy for them. And a lot of cats that are here in the shelter have lived out on the streets and they don't have any desire to go back out.
Right.
Even the cats that are always wanting to go out and sit on the sidewalk, once they go into their new home, that stops and they don't really have a desire to leave their new home.
So do the cats at the shelter go outside?
We've had a couple of cats that have gone outside, and they would sit out on our sidewalk. It was mostly before we had the wall of old screen doors, and it was just really hard to keep them in. And that was pretty fun. We had one cat named Colin Powell that used to go out every day. He wanted to go out, and he'd sit on our sidewalk for a while, and then he'd go and visit the businesses up the street. They'd leave their doors open, and Colin Powell would come in, and he'd lay on their chair for a while, and then he'd go on up the street. So he had a regular route that he went. There was one night that we were having a town party, and I wanted Colin Powell to be in before all the people came. So I went business to business looking for him and couldn't find him. And one of the businesses I stopped in was full of people, and a hush fell over the crowd when I popped my head in and asked the owner if Colin Powell was there. I couldn't believe that we had a party in Westland and Colin Powell was attending. So it's been really fun. If you haven't noticed by now, everybody's named after a famous person here.
I see that.
So, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anybody who comes to visit the shelter right now could meet Johnny Depp, Abraham Lincoln, Jerry Seinfeld, Gert Boyle, Alfred Hitchcock, Barbara Streisand, Paul Allen, Arlene Schnitzer, or Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy Onassis.
Why don't you tell me about three or four of the cats who you're hoping to place soon?
I'm hoping to place all of them soon.
I know, but
and they're all my favorites for different reasons, but Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy is probably one of my favorites, next to you, Johnny Depp. She is just an all-around, one of the sweetest cats. I say to people, if she was any sweeter, she'd be a lump of sugar. She's all white with a little black spot on her head, and half of the tip of her tail is black. She came to us, I told the woman no when she carried her in a box, but Jacqueline was just so amazingly sweet. She climbed out of the box and into my arms, and that's how Jacqueline came to live here. But she would be good with little kids. She'd be good with elderly people. She is so gentle. They're all just so good. I feel bad talking about Jacqueline.
Well, you know what?
She's right next to Alfred Hitchcock, who's also a doll.
The reason I'm asking, Sharon, is that if people hear about a specific kitty, they might call for it.
Well, there you go. Alfred Hitchcock is one of our big couch potatoes, who used to belong to a man. He prefers men. He loved his dad, and when his dad had to give him up because he was losing his housing, Alfred was so sad. So Alfred Hitchcock is a really big couch potato, and he's one of those cats that people go, oh, my God, what do you feed that cat? Big couch potato. Jerry Seinfeld is Johnny Depp's brother.
And what color is What color is the last one?
Alfred Hitchcock is a brown tabby with a white tuxedo chest. The white down his chest, white paws.
Okay. And you were going to say?
I was going to say Johnny Depp and Jerry Seinfeld are brothers. Johnny Depp is the black cat that's here in my office. And his brother Jerry Seinfeld is a black and white tuxedo. And both of them, because they were bottle raised by us last summer, both of them can't get enough attention. To the point of sometimes being a little bit pushy, but if you want a cat that can't get enough love, those would be your boys.
Now, what about, are there some cats that especially like other kitties?
Most of our cats like other kitties. Anytime you come by the shelter, we have a big table in the window, and right now you can see five cats all curled up together in the window. Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy Onassis is sleeping with Alfred Hitchcock, and they're both right next to Tony Danza, who's laying a comfortable distance from Barbara Streisand, because Barbara Streisand, who is a gorgeous calico tabby, is our diva here at the shelter, and the cats all know that they do not dare walk in front of Barbara because they're going to get slapped.
Well, now, they're so happy there, but you feel that they all want their own home.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I think this is a great place to live, but there is no place like home.
Yeah.
Just like when we were kids and we went to camp, we had such a blast at camp, but couldn't wait to get home. Usually.
Tell us about the elder care program.
Our elder care program is so cool. And we have one cat right now that qualifies for elder care. She's a gorgeous calico and white cat, who's a little butterball, and is as sweet as she can be. She's also very, very nice to everybody. Any cat that's 10 years old and older qualifies for our elder care program. And in the elder care program, those cats, when they get adopted, they go into what we call permanent foster care. So they still legally belong to us. They just will live out their days at a foster parent's home. So that we do that so that if they ever get sick, need surgery, need to be on medication, the shelter will make their medical decisions and pay for all their medical costs. So there's really no downside to adopting an elder cat from us.
What do you mean?
All the pluses.
What do you mean by make the medical decisions? Wouldn't that partly be the foster parent too?
It's up to the foster parent if they want to pay for those medical decisions they've made.
I see.
We have one cat that has some urinary tract problems that needs to go into the vet about every 3 months and have some medication. And there's another cat in foster care that is prone to having some dental needs. So about every 3 years, she goes in and has dental work done in the shelter. Mm-hmm. Picks up that tab. Mm-hmm. So if a foster parent called with an elderly cat and they said, my cat's sneezing, should I rush them to the vet? We would talk to them about yes or no, it needs to go to the vet, or it's just a sneeze and not to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there to help them with those decisions. So anybody who's had an elderly cat and has had to face the end,
yes.
Sometimes you don't know if it's time, if it's something that's normal. Should you take him to the vet? Or are you just being worried?
Yeah.
So we're kind of the backup person to go through all of that with them.
That's nice, because people do worry about taking on older cats, don't they?
They do. And the elderly cats, you get kind of the best of both worlds. They're sweet, they love you, they can't get enough, but they're also just couch potatoes.
So how can people help you help more cats?
You know, I think probably the biggest thing is by adopting cats. Adopting cats helps. It helps loosen up the space and takes the stress off. When we have a comfort level of 50 and we're up to 140 in our care right now, it's a huge stress.
Mm-hmm.
Another way they can help is by volunteering at the shelter. We clean all day long, and then when we get done cleaning, we start cleaning again. So people that actually come and help in the mornings are always amazed that it's like nobody cleaned the day before. Because the cats have a lot of fun during the day.
Yeah.
And I should say they have a lot of fun at night. During the day, they look like the little angels that wouldn't do anything, but at night, they get a little bit rowdy and have a little fun.
Is there anybody there at night with them?
There's not.
Oh, wow.
We've thought about setting up a camera so we can watch what they do in the middle of the night. There was one night they got into a big bag of catnip that had been left out carelessly. And the next morning I thought we had been broken into, because lamps were knocked over, chairs were knocked over, things were on the floor. It was total disarray. The food dishes were totally empty, as was the water dish, and the cats were all passed out.
So if people come by to visit, should they call first? If they want to maybe look into getting a cat, can they come and kind of be low-key and just visit and see what it's all about, and then come back and
Absolutely.
Maybe choose a cat?
We have a lot of people that just come and hang out with the cats, and it's the best way to choose the perfect cat for you is to come and hang out with them and see who chooses you.
Uh-huh.
Just quite often when I think I know the perfect cat for somebody, it's somebody different that picks them out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good way. And we also need, every shelter needs financial support.
Yes.
The vet bills get staggering in the summer months. And when we have little orphans, it's expensive to raise the orphans, but yet so rewarding.
Yes. Now, I'm thinking that we have a little more time, so I'm going to put out the phone number in case people want to call and ask questions.
Yay.
And so our phone number is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. So if you have questions for Sharon from PAWS, which is in West Lynn, a wonderful shelter there, please give us a call, 503-231-8187. Cat behavior questions, or maybe you've seen a feral cat you have a question about, or who knows what, anything to do with animal shelter kinds of questions, give us a call, 231-8187. And how do you do your fundraising? What kinds of, do you have like big events, or how does it go?
We haven't had a big event for a while. Help with fundraising is another thing we could use. Mm-hmm. It's just, I guess, help in general.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much work to be done in the summertime. There's not always a lot of time to plan a fundraiser, which takes some time.
Yeah.
So we do, on Wednesday nights, there's a farmer's market here in town, and we have, it's the sweetest thing. There's a little 10-year-old boy, who I would never call him little to his face. he lives here in town, and he has started raising money for the shelter just on his own. He started doing babysitting and washing cars, and every Wednesday night he comes and sets up a lemonade stand and sells lemonade out in front of the shelter for us to raise money.
Oh, how nice.
So we do kind of fun little things like that, generally not really big events, just the low-key things.
And what about foster care? Do you need more foster homes?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that is such a great way for people to be able to have kittens in the house is by foster care. The kittens that I'm bottle feeding right now in another week will need to go to a foster home who'd be willing to give them their bottle during the day and just let them go and nurture them until they're 6 weeks old, and then they start their shots, and then they come back to the shelter at 9 weeks.
So does it need to be a home that doesn't have cats already?
It needs to be a home where they can keep our kittens or cats separate from any other animals in the house, mostly for the safety of our kittens, because they have not been vaccinated. A lot of them have come from questionable backgrounds and don't have the immune systems that a healthy kitten or cat might have. And I'm not saying that our kittens aren't healthy, but they may be a little bit more susceptible to things. And there are things that cats that go outside can bring into the house, and nobody knows that they've carried them in. They're not damaging to the cat, but they could be fatal to our kittens. So, and Lori, another way people can help, and this is, they can help every shelter, every rescue by doing this. If they would just spay and neuter every stray cat, every cat that comes across their view line that isn't spayed or neutered, If all the cats could just get spayed or neutered, there wouldn't be this tremendous sadness in the summertime of having so many cats and kittens and not enough homes.
Yes. Do you recommend spaying and neutering the kittens before they're adopted?
You know, I can't weigh in on that since I'm not a medical professional.
Right.
We don't spay and neuter under 5 pounds because the people that we rely on for advice don't advise it. But there are a lot of vets and a lot of places that feel it's okay to spay and neuter under 5 pounds.
Yes.
So that's where we stand. We follow the advice of the people we count on.
You know, I have a cat situation at my house. And we finally just decided to separate our two cats. They are just, you know, one's orange, one's black, and they are night and day. And it's a boy and a girl. And
is the girl the bossy one?
They're both. You know, she's pretty bossy, and she's older, quite a bit older than him. And so she was the first one, I think, who offended him. But now he chases her, and she has to hide. And so it's been over a year now. We've kept them separate, and they used to kind of fight under the door in between.
Yeah.
Now they don't do that much anymore. So I'm not sure if that's improvement or it might be. And I couldn't decide if that was play because they would both participate in it, or if it was aggression. Under the door thing.
Yeah. The under the door thing, I think, is play.
Yeah.
And sometimes what we think looks like aggression is actually them playing when they're chasing each other. And sometimes
it was
not,
serious.
Certainly.
It was serious. They were rolling and you know, rolling on the floor. You know, it was a not such a good situation.
Yeah.
And so we worried about Kit Kat's stress level.
With the cats at the shelter, if they behaved like that and they were both fighting,
yes.
If we can't tell who the first offender was, who should get into trouble, both of them get in trouble. That's the rule here. So as soon as I see somebody, and they usually posture at each other before they start the chasing and that stuff. So whenever we see that, I tell them to stop that. And if they don't stop hunching up their back or staring at each other, then they get in trouble. It's just the same as
you
if they
just pick them up and put them in the crate.
Then I tell them to stop that. And if they don't, then I go in there and tell them to stop that. And if they don't, I thump them on the head. Just with one finger.
Yes.
And then if they sass me or continue to sass, then I grab them by the scruff and make their little feet walk over and get in the crate. And I think them being walked in front of the other cats or the other cat that they were getting in trouble with, I think is really embarrassing for them.
Yes.
They would do anything not to be walked in front of the other cats by the scruff of their neck.
Oh, interesting.
Just when you grab them by the scruff, you're dominating them.
Yeah.
They don't like all that well.
We do have one caller, and we have just enough time to take it. Hello, caller.
Hi, I can barely hear you on there. But I'll do my best. Recently, my significant other partner was looking into a program called Furry Friends, and I guess it's a national program And once she did her research, she was turned off by it because they were so stringent in requiring certain food purchases and of a particular brand and brands of cat litter and kitty litter boxes and all this, and withholding or keeping the right to show up even unannounced for visitations at any time. And I'm just wondering, other than what you've already mentioned, what kind of requirements you have of somebody adopting.
Oh, it does say in our contract that we reserve the right to come and visit the cat at any reasonable time.
Okay.
But I don't think any shelter would ever show up unannounced, and I could certainly be wrong about that. And the whole reason for the visit is just to make sure that everybody's happy. You're happy with the cat's happy there. So that's the reason I think that's the reason we have it in the contract that we would like to reserve the right to come and have a visit. As far as the foods go, we feed our cats just one specific food, and we send home a little bag of that and tell people how to transition the cat over to the new food. If you just suddenly transition them over, some cats will get a little upset stomach and they'll throw up and they won't feel good on top of what's good stress of going to a new home, but stress nonetheless, it might make them a little bit sick during their first visit to the house. And some cats, I've heard, our cats don't seem to be very picky about litter, but I've heard that some cats, if they get used to sand in the litter box, they won't use clay or they won't use the pellets, or if they're used to the pellets, they won't use something else.
So it's good to start out with something that they're used to,
yeah,
like food and litter and everything else, so you don't create problems, and then you can transition into whatever
especially
you want.
The litter. You don't want that surprise to pick out a litter that you think is great and have the cat go, what is this? Where's my litter box? So those could be the reasons that they're very strict with that.
We're running out of time, so I'm going to just have to say we're going to have to do this again, Sharon, and thank you, caller. And
okay.
I'm going to give the phone number, 503-650-0855.
That's great.
503-650-0855. And you're in the phone book under Paws in Westland, I think.
Yeah, Paws Animal Shelter. And if that caller would like to come and get the rest of his question answered, I don't think I answered it well, feel free to call me.
And pawsanimalshelter.com.org?
.org.
Pawsanimalshelter.org if you want to look them up online. And they have pictures of kitties. It's really a great website. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Oh, thank you, Lori. It was great to talk to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Try to tell me might is right, but there's no place left to run and hide, and I ain't going down without a fight. I am choosing sides. My side is the mountain side. My side is the rocks in the earth. My side is decay and rebirth. So much destruction our eyes can see. It's down to the split with humanity. We've been running out.